I know it was never your intention, Craig, when you started attending Grace Bible, that you would be singing solo, but those years of practice in Multnomah's choir, it's finally paid off. And you too, Beth, thank you. We've been looking at Psalms lately. And since about mid-March, most of us have had more time than we had before. And I, too, have had more time to spend with the scriptures. And since we've been looking at Psalms, I've been spending more time reading Psalms in particular. And I would like us to look at Psalm 46 today, specifically looking at verse 10. And by now, I think I've got that thing memorized. And it goes like this. Psalm 46. David is, actually one of the sons of Korah wrote this psalm, and it's somewhat in a good tenor of their mind where they're at, and they come up with this thought. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Over the years, I've been troubled, experimenting, wondering how this works about being still. What does that mean for me? Everybody has their own experiences in being still before God. And so currently, especially after reading quite a bit of the Psalms lately, I'll just let you know where I'm at currently with this. And I want to share that with you. And my goal as I share with you today is that I know most of you are already walking with the Lord and you have your times with him and you interact with him. So I want to encourage you to do that. And if I could share a few of my ideas this morning from the Psalms and a few other scriptures to build on that of your time of being still and knowing that he is God, well, then I will have to consider this a good time together. Also, I know that I have a general kind of thought on this, that if something is new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. I'm talking about universal truths that have been around for eons, from the creation. Of course, we're discovering new things scientifically, but I'm talking about basic laws that govern our lives, relationships, and especially with God. If it's new, it's not going to be true. And if it's true, it's not going to be anything new. So what you hear from me today is my thoughts specifically from this psalm, other psalms, and a couple of the other scriptures. But primarily what I want us to sink into our minds is to, for all of us, to be better at being still and knowing that he is God. Through that, we have a sense of who he is, what his purposes are for us and for the world around us. I think it's really valuable. There was a saying, I forgot who said it, quote, you probably heard it, most men lead lives of quiet desperation. And today, it's most of us lead lives of noisy distraction. And being still and hearing God's voice in a time of noisy distraction, we're going to have to work on that. It's something that the modern society has created, just another obstacle that we need to work with. Okay, so that's my goal today, is just to share a few things to help us all, to encourage us all to really anchor this time of being still and hearing God's voice. So I just wanted to read this psalm, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar in foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of fortune. God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So apparently this song was written to encourage the reader to take heart. It probably was a tough time in the history of Israel. And to read these kind of psalms to show what God has done in the past and what he is doing now. And then whether you're going to buy into this, what I'm sharing you, what this writer is writing to them, he's telling the folks, be still and know that he is God. Now, when I was young, like most of you, I heard a formula. It goes like this. You're a new believer, so there's three things you want to do. You want to read your Bible, you want to pray, and you want to witness, right? Those were the three things I heard. Now, reading was straightforward. I knew what that meant. Witnessing was straightforward. I knew what that meant. But the praying part, that was the part that I had to work with, sensing, what does this mean, praying, and what part do I play in this? What part does God play? When? What should it sound like? I remember even doing a Navigator's booklet on prayer. So over the years, I've come to where I'm at today, and I'll share a few of those thoughts. But for the most part, I remember the encouragement was to have a quiet time. And I was encouraged to wake up early and tend to that. And after realizing, waking up at 4:30, 5 o'clock, and sitting in that nice red chair, that I was not cut out for this early morning quiet time. I would get very quiet and comfy, and pretty soon I'd wake up a half hour later. And I realized the quiet time that works for some folks doesn't work for me. But being still and hearing the voice of God transcends the time of the day or how you do it. And I want to share a couple of variations of the theme. And the theme being, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Meaning, I'm part of that, of being him exalting himself in me, in my life, his purposes for me. So, variations of the theme of being still, I want to share just two. The first one is the classic variation. It's the one that most of us, including myself, I'm probably, big percentage of my life is here, where it's alone, it's one-on-one time. It's that time that you just get away from the noisy distractions, and it's you and God. And a lot of the heavy lifting of spiritual growth and maturity goes on there. This is when you are still before God, and you are musing, and you're thinking about the scriptures, you are sensing his voice, and you are seeing some of the troubling things about your own life, maybe your attitudes or words or things that need attention, that need the Spirit's chiseling effect on our lives. And this is when that heavy lifting, the tough work goes on. And I'm there. I'm probably there, 70% of the time, if I were to try to add up all these things where I sense God's presence in my life. Yeah, the classic time. So can I share a couple of Psalms that have that? I'm going to look at Psalm 4:4. If you want to look there with me, Psalm 4:4. This is the classic kind of time where it's you and God and nobody else, and you're sensing him. You're still before God. Psalm 4:4. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your heart and be silent. A lot of my quiet time is spent right there in bed as I go to bed. I can't fall asleep at night just like that. So I sit there and I lay there and I'm thinking and I'm praying and I'm letting God search my heart. And just thinking about the course of the day. It's that one-on-one time with God. And I've grown to really like that. It's been a very valuable time. And maybe you do that, maybe not. But I know for me, going to bed at night is a time when I lay there and I just think on God. I pray And it's a very relaxing, I enjoy it very much. The next one, just one psalm below that, Psalm 5, verse 3. Morning by morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. Morning by morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectations. Here's that sense of arising, and it's just you, and you are talking to God. You're pouring your heart out. You're just putting your requests. You're just sensing God is going to do something in your life, and you're getting up with your cup of coffee, and you're just thinking, and you're putting your thoughts before God. It's just you and Him. I think that's a very valuable time. If you want to look at Psalm 16, also Psalm 16, verse 7. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Here's another one of these evening things. And for David, as a shepherd, I imagine nighttime, this is not so much bedtime, but with his sheep. And when you're in the field with the sheep, you're kind of there, keeping an eye on things. And I'm sure he would look up at the skies, and it's just him and God at night. My heart instructs me. Going on a walk, maybe, that would be equivalent to today. Just driving down the Columbia Highway, just looking at the gorge, just seeing things here. You know, God's going to use those times in your life, and who knows what doors open up? Who knows where that goes? You can also look at next Psalm, Psalm 17:3. Though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. Oh, you're God's probing at night. Another one of these nighttime experiences of David. Because those sheep probably don't have much to offer in the sense of any kind of interaction. They're kind of boring. They just lying there. It's you and God. And what do? Well, he examines, he probes, you thank him, you delight in him, you are instructed by him. This is that classic one-on-one time of being still before God. And we've all been there, and most of us, we will continue to follow that path throughout our lives. I spend most of my time doing that. Now, the other theme, the other variation of this theme of being still and know that I am God, I call it the real time thing, because when we are called to hear God's voice, we don't always have the luxury of being still by ourselves. We have lives, and we're in real time. So, as I noted, using the Psalms and other scriptures, the other scriptures I'm going to use right now are found in the book of Nehemiah. So, if you can turn there, or if you just want me, I can do that. And I'm going to turn to chapter 2, verse 4. So, this is Nehemiah. Chapter 2, verse 4, Nehemiah, as you remember, was a cupbearer for the king of Persia. And the king asks him a question because things are not doing well in Jerusalem, his home away from home. And he's worried about Jerusalem, so he has a heavy heart. And the king, he goes before the king, and the king says to me, "What is it you want?" Because he just looks sad. So right here, "What is it you want?" And then I pray to the God of heaven. Right there, as he's standing before the king, doing his job, offering him his food and his drink, the king says, "What is it you want?" And the verse says, "Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king." Real time. And isn't that us? That's, I have more noisy times. I have more times on my feet moving and doing things than I do of those night times, of those morning times, of those quiet times. Most of my life is busy, always on, you know, doing things. And so my real time sense of being still and knowing he is God, I think I'm learning that God will speak in those times. As we are told, pray without ceasing, meaning there's no special time for that. We should be ready at all times. So I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered. So Nehemiah had that aspect. The very next, chapter 6, verse 8, if we want to see him in action again, being busy. This time they're rebuilding the walls. He was in charge of that, and the local folks didn't like that. They were opposing them. They receive a letter from the local opposition. Nehemiah writes back a letter. "Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head," he writes to this person. And then Nehemiah writes, "They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed." So that's what Nehemiah was thinking. He says, then he says, "But I prayed, now strengthen my hands." Just like that, he prayed at that moment. He didn't wait for that evening walk in the quiet of Jerusalem along the ramparts and the walls that were going up. He didn't wait till the morning or while he was lying in bed or going to the temple. Right there, he prayed. He prayed. And you know what? It's better to pray than to be frightened or to worry, because the reply he sent to Sanballat said, "Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making this up out of the head. They were all trying to frighten us." So his response was just to pray. And I would say praying is better than being frightened or worrying. So I'm going to go with that one. So in real life, in real time, we stop and we let God speak to us. "Be still and know that I am God." And that those short times of just stopping in the midst of all the action around us is very healthy. The next one is chapter 8, if you want to turn there with me, or I will just read this to you. They are now getting the walls built. They're all finished, and now they are going to read the book of the law to the people of Jerusalem. And they even have some Levites who are going to do some interpreting while they're reading. And in verse 9, it says, "Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people all said to them, 'This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep.'" For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Something we will do well to remember is that weeping and mourning was an art. It was an art in the Middle East at that time and still today in many parts of the world. I remember when my dad died, the service was out there in the desert, and there weren't a whole lot of people who knew him. We who, in the Southern California area, we drove to this old church, and there were about a dozen of us, but they did not know if my dad had kinfolk in the area nearby. So they brought in some of the ladies from the church there, who I guess their part was to mourn during funerals. And so they were just crying and weeping and praying during the service, which I thought, well, pretty good. I like that. Something. But in the Middle East, this mourning and weeping is an art. So that was verse 9. Verse 10 said, Nehemiah says, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So they're very, you can just imagine the wailing and the crying and the tears and oh, the shrieking. It's amazing. You remember that when Jesus went to go raise that young girl from the dead, people were screaming and yelling. He just told them, stop all this noise. Just stop it already. It's been very prevalent. And the Levites had to get involved. They had to calm the people. They said, "Be still, for this is a sacred day. Be still." In the midst of all this activity, they're being told, "Be still, this is a sacred day." Sacred. God is here. God is with us. God is present. Be still and hear him. You know, that's, I want to return to this in a few minutes after we look at our last psalm. And then we're going to end. But we're going to come back because there's something else that's going on here in this chapter that is worth looking at. I want to look at Psalm 143 if you want to turn there, or I will just go there. Psalm 143. This is David, and David's on the run again. He's fleeing for his life again, and he's in danger again. And this is his Psalm 143. And I'm going to read it for you. I'm just going to read down to verse 7. You'll get the point of the psalm. O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those dead long ago. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. So David has spent a number of years running and fleeing. So he's used to this, but nevertheless, you never get used to it being a fugitive. Then verse 5. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands before you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. So I just want to stop here on verse 5. And if you would allow me to maybe change a few words so it's a little bit poetic what I want to say. I call these, I read about this, it's not original, but the three M's. These are the three M's, either the, you may call them the three ministering graces to our minds. These are the three M's, they minister to our mind. I remember, and I'm going to call them the M's, the three M's, ministering graces. Instead of remember, just think of memory, or leave out the R-E and remember. Remember, meditate. And if you have a King James or NASV, consider is muse. And I like the word muse better than consider. I remember the days, I meditate on all your works, I muse on what your hands have done. So these are three ministering graces that God has given to us to fumigate our minds of all the poison that's in there. And fumigate, I think, is a very good word to use for this. In our minds, where we meditate, where we muse, where we use our memory and our mind, it's all going on up here. And this fumigation that occurs when we remember and meditate and muse, it's really, really necessary. And fumigation is just the right word for that. We fumigate to get rid of pests and bad things in our house. I want to, for myself and maybe you, I downplay many times and I don't take seriously the state of my unregenerated mind. Romans 8:7, because the sinful man is hostile to God, it does not submit to God's law, nor can it. Our unregenerate mind, that part of our head that just is never going to come around, it is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it. So that's Paul's way of saying, be serious about what you're going to feed and follow the Spirit's mind, not the carnal mind. So let's not downplay what's going on inside of our heads. That's why this fumigation is really necessary, to remember the days of long ago, to meditate on your works, to consider, to muse on what your hands have done. That's part of this being still and knowing that he is God. He will be exalted in all the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. This process, these three M's that minister to our mind, this fumigation, the intention is to switch our default, to recalibrate where our minds are. We're not born with a mind that wants to do God's will. I'm always, I like CEF for many reasons, and one of them is how they bring things down to a very easy level to remember. And we explain sin as we have a want to do our own thing. That's part of sin, is the want to follow our own will, our own desires, not God's. But this being still and knowing that he is God and wants to exalt himself in our lives means we change our want to be his will and not our will. Just this week, gets to be about 7:30, and looking at all the stuff that still remained to do, and I told Paula, I need to read. I need to do my reading now. Then, as I look back on it, I started musing and remembering. And then I came back about a minute later and I said, Paul, you know what? I don't just need to read the Bible. I just don't need to, but I want to, right? I said, I want to. So folks, rejoice with me on those little victories, because that's what it takes, those little victories that I was intentional about. I want to read God's word. I want to. That was the difference there. And just obeying God's word is good, but I want to get to the point where his law is actually in my heart. I want to do these things. You know, obedience is a wonderful thing, and obedience with a full heart is where I the ideal. You may have heard me, I mentioned in Luke chapter 5, he's watching Peter and others bring in, after a long night of fishing, bringing back nothing. Then Jesus said, put your nets out, go out a little bit further. And of course, Peter, our buddy, oh Lord, and he just does, you know, kicking our thought process, kicking everything we know from our birth, but we did blah, 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 all this stuff. And then here's the good part. Here's the progress in Peter's life and in our lives as something must have kicked in on Peter where he mused, where he thought about it. But because you say so, I will do it. And part of the musing and using our mind and being thoughtful when God is speaking to us, we said, okay, God, I got a lot on my mind. This doesn't sound right. And I don't know, but because you say so, and I'll give this a try. You know, we move slowly into the kingdom of God and we get there step by step. Part of recalibrating is also, we had a Muslim student stay with us one time. Her name was Shema. This was 2-3 years ago. And she's very, very outspoken. They don't have this PC distinction between religion and society. So she asked me one evening, she said, Haig, what do you think of Muhammad? I said, well, you know, Shema, I will say this. He has some good things to say, but where Muhammad disagrees with Jesus, I choose Jesus. And this whole thing of remembering and musing and meditating on God's word and just being still, knowing that he is God, that's where we need to be going. I choose Jesus. I choose God. I recalibrate. There's part of me, Paul tells me, that I cannot submit to God's law, nor can it even do so. So I've not going to waste my time on that carnal mind, but feed the spirit. Be still, knowing that he is God. So active engagement, quiet, be still, whether you are alone in the classic sense, on your knees classically, in that position of having God speak to you while you are silent, or whether you are with people and you're standing up, walking, talking, using your hands, both are true. We have opportunities to be still, know that he is God, have him exalt himself in your life and in the purposes for where you are going. So that's my encouragement to you, that you will continue this process of being still before God. Let him exalt himself in your life and speak to you. So can I pray for all of us as we continue this? Father God, you have brought us into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, a life that is true life. And we are so glad for that. And as we continue on exploring and understanding these truths, these riches, these graces that you've poured out on us of our new life, may those be the source of our musings and meditations and memories as we go through our days, whether we have a quiet time by ourselves, whether we're walking and beholding your works, or whether we're amongst others. We still ask for your involvement, for your intrusion into our lives. You are a welcome guest at any time, Father God. May we have more of those opportunities to connect with you throughout our busy lives. I thank you in Jesus' name.